T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To the championship rounds of Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us today. And a reminder, as we get set for Game 3, Warriors-Clippers Thursday night in Los Angeles, tip time 7:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, that Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 should you feel so inclined. Phone lines are open as well. Baron Davis coming up in about 5 minutes. Today's story, it's a doozy. 135-131 is your final from Oracle Arena last night as the Los Angeles Clippers, as 13.5-point underdogs, upset the Golden State Warriors, having trailed by as many as 31 points in the second half. Ladies and gentlemen, what you saw last night was history in the making. The largest comeback in NBA postseason history. Not only that, the Clippers have now erased a 25-point deficit 3 separate times this season. They have come back to win 3 games this season in which they were trailing by 25 or more. Over the last 20 years, there isn't a single team in the NBA that's done that more than once in the regular season. They've done it 3 times. So, I think we came in today with a certain level of animosity, anger, disappointment. It does feel, though, that we've experienced some catharsis on this program as we work our way towards the end. It feels as if the sense in the room is that we're a little bit more confident with where we are, although we haven't erased all of it because there are still some serious problems lurking with this team.
Yes, there are, and the serious problems include but are not just isolated to the lack of your starting center, DeMarcus Cousins, who will be gone for between a short period of time and the rest of the playoff run, depending on the MRI results, which will come out later today. Keep it locked to 95.7 The Game. We will have the results of that MRI immediately. I know Greg Papa, noon to three, is in constant contact with Warriors PR, Raymond Ritter. So we'll get the news to you immediately. But you put that issue aside, you look at Klay Thompson, who offensively has been missing in large stretches. You look at Draymond Green and his reactions to a couple of Steve Kerr moves, whether it's Jordan Bell being on the floor or taking out Draymond Green at the end of the third quarter. And there's always the KD question. 8 shot attempts from Kevin Durant. And I know he got fouled a lot, which takes away shot attempts when you go to the free throw line. But he's not looking like the most dominant player in the association. So as much as we are confident that they're still going to win this series, there are many lingering questions going forward.
Bigger problem last night, the Boogie injury or blowing the 31-point lead?
Boogie. Boogie injury is the bigger problem to me. Boogie Cousins was playing what he was bringing to the team, not just his play, but what it meant to this team. What he meant to this team as just an individual. A guy that this team said, we're going to win a championship for you, with you, and let you experience this. Here's a guy yesterday, last night, that he could have let that ball go out of bounds, and you know what? But why didn't he? Because of hustle, because the stage was set, and he was trying to show effort.
That's the worst part. He was trying to make a big play early in the game.
I know. And you saw it. He's running upright. Nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, when he bends down, so now he overextended that overload on that leg, pop, because he goes from a running up position to squatting down and loaded up on there, and it popped. That's a guy. That ball goes out of bounds. Said, who cares? No one's going to talk about Boogie. That you saw a guy grinding, trying to get there to make a play. So that's sad. So I think to me, that's a bigger loss for this team. I think that guy right there that we lost is going to, that loss is going to have a bigger effect. Not on this series, but moving forward, that loss is going to hurt.
Maybe you're a Splash Brother too, because those sentiments were echoed by one, Klay Thompson, after the game.
We can't throw it on the I mean, we miss his low post dominance. We're going to miss that, of course. We're going to miss his screen setting and just his energy out there. I'm hoping for a speedy recovery because we really need him if we want to make this run.
Needing?
That's, I don't want to hear that. To be completely honest with you, you don't want to hear Klay Thompson saying we really need him if we're going to make this run, because right now it feels like he's not going to be available for the run.
They understood what Boogie was about, man.
Do you think they knew at halftime that something serious had happened? Do you think that played a role in the mindset in the second half?
He's sitting inside, so when you go in at halftime, in your locker room, it's right there next to the training staff. Guys didn't go sit down and listen to what was going on, the adjustments at halftime. They went right into that training room. I guarantee it. And they went and said, hey, brother, we got you. Guys walked in there. He probably has ice or whatever on his leg.
Talk about adding insult to injury. He got you.
man, you okay? Man, bro. And he's right there. Guys are patting him on the back at halftime. You go in there and see your brother. I'm telling you how it works. And they went in there and seen him during that game.
I think they knew even before then. Because
but you still go find him.
Absolutely, Lo, but my point is when it happens, it's a one-point game, and you go out in the second quarter and you outscore the Clippers 40-25, and you know long before halftime that DeMarcus hasn't come back out on the bench, which tells you that it's more serious than just a minor thing, because if it is just a tweak, he goes in there, they massage it, maybe they put on a little bit of cream to numb the pain, and he goes back out and he sits with his team. If it's more serious, you're not going to put any cream on it. You're going to realize that the quad is probably torn, and then you get, an x-ray there, or you get some treatment right away. We didn't see DeMarcus come back out. So my point is, they didn't really use it as an excuse in the first half, because in the second quarter, you shot 71% from the floor, you only had 3 turnovers, and you outscored the Clippers by 15 points. So to me, you can't really use it as an excuse in that game.
They got special MRIs for people of that size.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting that this morning. He can't be in the normal human MRI, right?
No, they got it.
You know how claustrophobic that would be?
Yeah, they put
you go in feet first, though, with a quad injury, so you wouldn't have to go in
like
head first.
Tub.
Yeah, I believe they put you in feet first on an injury like this.
Yeah.
Not as bad. You ever been in an MRI tube?
No. No.
It's really soothing.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know about soothing.
It's soothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get used to the noise.
How do you get used to something like that?
You throw in the earbuds and you just chill. You realize you can't move for an hour. You grab your little nap.
They got the new ones now. Just go back.
Get drunk and go in there and pass out.
Dude, no,
Oh, my God. We're done already.
You couldn't handle it because you can't move. You're sitting in there.
I plan on never getting injured. How about that? I'm just never going to get injured. I'm never going to need one.
Never know.
That's a smart approach, Coach.
I don't think that's happening, though.
Has it happened to you?
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't happened to me. So maybe my plan's working out better than yours. Maybe you shouldn't have played NFL football.
Are you trying to curse him right now?
Very anti-Bible. That's terrible. Especially
that's
with Good Friday right around
the corner.
Easter is this weekend. To the phones, 2-time NBA All-Star, 13-year NBA veteran, former Warrior point guard, Warrior legend. Check him out now. Terrific studio analyst for TNT, the great Baron Davis, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Baron, thank you so much for your time. How's life been treating you?
You don't want to know. No, I'm joking.
Hey, Baron, it's a jungle. It's a jungle out there.
Are you in an MRI machine right now?
It's a jungle out there.
I am in an MRI machine, matter of fact.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Man.
No, I'm joking.
All right, so take us through your thoughts on last night's game. There are a million things to slice.
What happened last night? Everybody talking about last night. I'm still trying to figure out what happened with Game of Thrones. I still haven't finished watching Game of Thrones. I haven't really been watching any basketball. I forgot the playoffs started because I've been trying to get through Game of Thrones.
So how are you feeling about Thrones?
I can't even get through it. I've literally watched the credits like 100 times to try and figure out what the path of the Night Walkers are.
Yeah, they're trying to make their way, much like the Clippers, I guess, would be representing the Night Walkers in that series. From down 31, they were able to
flip that. I wouldn't say the Clippers are the Night Walkers, though.
How would you portray it then? Maybe
who would be the Night Walkers?
Would Doc Rivers be Cersei Lannister here, Doc?
I told you I didn't see the game, man.
Okay, so take us through.
Next question. Russell Westbrook, next question. No,
What's the feeling like when you blow a 31-point lead, Barron, or even a 20-point lead?
I don't know. I think, obviously everybody has, it was a big game for the Clippers. It was a good win for them. I thought they just showed a lot of resiliency. I think the Warriors just kind of let their foot off the gas and, kind of let their aggressive nature slow down. And they started to play basketball like they normally don't. That's turning the ball over. That's being stationary. That's not moving the ball and relying a lot on one-on-one play. And that's why the Clippers, once the Clippers were able to get back in the game, at that point, it's a game of momentum.
Yeah.
And it's a game of talent. And in the NBA, everybody has incredible talent. And so you can never underestimate, guys like Lou Will and Gallinari or anybody that's playing out there because they're capable of doing something. And the Clippers have a team of guys that are all, hardworking guys that are capable. Now, the Warriors were up 30, so let's not forget that, what type of team they are and what kind of buzzsaw they are. So we know that they'll come back hyped and ready to play for game three, but it's going to be a different Clipper team because now they really believe that they can beat these Warriors.
Yeah, you're right. You're talking about belief, and especially when you get some young guys are saying that they got that thing rolling. You saw them stick around, and they understood, hey, once we stick around, we got this Warrior team. And you just saw them continue to get energy and saw them continue to build. What's your take kind of just from a coaching aspect? You look at Doc Rivers and you look at Steve Kerr. Should Kerr at times call game management, maybe timeouts? How do you think the flow of that as far as coaching strategy? Does that play a part as well?
Like I said, man, I ain't really watched the game like that, and so I didn't analyze
coaching.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
I was just basically watching a good game.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's nothing to kind of try and nitpick, or there's nothing like really quotable that I'm gonna say that's going to make any sense. As far as the coaching, you got two great coaches, and, they're great at making in-game adjustments.
Right.
And, both teams are very similar to the coaches in their style, the grind and grit of Doc Rivers versus, the ball movement and the way that, every man kind of touches the ball, like that new triangle offense with Steve Kerr has.
I read recently that you were working to donate somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 mattresses to the Oakland Public Education Fund. I was wondering if you could tell me more about that, Barron.
Yeah, so basically partnered up with Lisa Sleep, and what we wanted to do was go to communities and address this sleep issue. And I think there are multiple ways of going at it. One is looking at the people who are sleep deprived, right, who don't have the opportunity to, have a good night's rest. And then it's also from a brand standpoint, the fact that they are donating mattresses for every 10 mattresses that they sell, it just means a lot. And for us, today we're going down to Acorn Woodland Elementary, pass out some mattresses. We're going to jump on some mattresses with the kids and just really, really want to start to look at all the other aspects of life and well-being and how we can find brands and companies to participate on a level that that brings joy and brings comfort to, to people from all backgrounds and all economic backgrounds.
It's fantastic stuff. Barron Davis here on 95.7 The Game. I wanted to ask you about the approach when you're playing against a player like Patrick Beverley. It seems like Kevin Durant's getting flustered with the physicality he brings. As a Warrior teammate or as Kevin Durant himself, what do you do to combat a player who's playing that much of pesky defense?
Well, one, you got to get a good night's sleep. So, having a mattress.
I hear that.
And, somebody like Patrick Beverley, it's just, if you had a good night's sleep, you would be a lot calmer and you would understand that that's, you know, that's his MO. That's what charges him up. You know, for him, it's like when I play, I love playing against guys like Patrick Beverly because, you know, it's like the guys that do things like that to you, they don't like them done to themselves. So the Warriors just got to figure out how to meet him, you know, face to face with his game and, you know that they can't buy into that, but they can take a page out of his book and do what he's doing to them.
Two-time NBA All-Star, 13-year NBA vet, former Warrior point guard. You can check him out now as a studio analyst for TNT. The great Baron Davis with us here on 95.7 The Game. Baron, thanks so much for your time this morning, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys, and thanks for the support in the community.
No doubt. Keep doing what you do. We appreciate it. Okay. Apropos of nothing, I had a good breakfast this morning, but I could really go for like some Funyuns or some Cheez-Its right now. I don't
Man.
Know why. I'm just hungry right now.
D-Day's getting it in.
Wow, I'm feeling like I probably should have got more sleep last night on a better mattress.
I tried to, and then I realized what happened in the game, and then I got up and had to rewatch the second half. I should say watch for the first time. No lie. I was like, forget this. I made some wisecrack about the game at half. This game's a blowout. Went to bed, woke up at like 11:50, checked the final score, was totally blown away by what had happened. Didn't think it was honest. Like, honestly, I thought I was on the wrong date for the app. I was like, there's no way that the Warriors lost this.
Right.
I could imagine it got close, but they couldn't have lost. Found out they did, then went out to the living room and was like, damn, I got to watch this. So I sat down at midnight and watched the second half of that game, taking notes, half in a haze.
Yeah.
I was a bit cloudy. I didn't get a great night of sleep.
Man.
My wits weren't about me.
Luckily, you had some Funyuns at home and maybe some Cheez-Its and some popcorn, and you could back that up with some snack food. I wonder
some
if
lemonade.
If you didn't order some pizza, some late-night pizza.
Garlic knots.
Yes, satiate that hungry. I had the same sort of reaction this morning at 3:30, Joe, and I woke up and looked at my phone and saw that somebody had put on Instagram that they lost. I didn't believe it.
First thing you're checking is Instagram?
Usually I check Instagram first thing. Just to
wake
see.
Up, first thing is to the gram.
First thing is my phone, which is my alarm, 3:34 currently set. So I'll turn it off or snooze it for 5, and then the 3:39, the second alarm, I'll pick it up, I'll turn that off. And as I lie in bed for the first 5, maybe 10, a little bit of Instagram. Because Instagram will give you a touch of news. People will, you know, Instagram out. I guess you don't tweet out on Instagram. You'll hit on IG some highlights from the Warrior game.
That's where I go for all my news.
It's where I get my opening dollop of news. And I saw on there that somebody, my friend from New Zealand, shout out Mark Peard, he had said that the Warriors lost. And I couldn't believe it. And I had the same reaction as you, wondering if I was on the wrong date or if I had slept for 5 days or something. Because they couldn't possibly have lost that game.
I had to go out to the living room and watch the damn game. And I had to retract all these stupid takes I had about how the Warriors shouldn't even be forced to play in this series, how they should just get a free pass to the finals. The whole thing is a mess. It's a terrible way, and it's only Tuesday.
Did you delete tweets, or did you let them ride?
No, the tweets
stay. Didn't scrub them? You didn't scrub them?
No, a tweet like that, there are tweets I have scrubbed because I've gone back through the past, and I found some stuff that just talks about politics. Nothing ever rude or race, nothing that would ever get you in trouble, but I've just found that I don't think that stuff even needs to be up there. So I've gone through and taken some stuff like that off.
Yeah.
But by and large, if I say something idiotic like that about this game, I deserve to be punished. I'm not going to delete that. Like that stands the test of time. And if you want to rip me for it, you should be able to because it's a stupid comment.
Well, I think that not
arrogant
just,
more than anything else.
I think not just rip you. I think that the players are being ripped, and I think that this comment that they're looking at, they're going to say we're part of history. Whether this team wins a championship this year or whatever may happen, who's going to be here or not, they made history last night, and history that they don't want to be a part of. But it's in the record books now, and they have to live with that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team bounce back. It's going to be interesting to see if they can take perspective and also take from this and say, okay, we know that we're playing a dog, that no matter what, this is that junkyard dog. It might get his butt kicked. It doesn't matter, but it's going to keep coming. This is that team that you know with the Clippers. You have way more firepower. You're a better team. But they're that junkyard dog that's going to keep fighting you every single day. And if you have a bad day, they're going to win that fight. And we got to see that. Or if you get lackadaisical and think that, oh, my God, we got this dog down, this dog. No, they're going to keep coming at you and keep nipping at your heels. And last night was that junkyard dog. I'm not going to quit. I won't stop. I'm going to keep coming. And you saw that. Patrick Beverly goes out, get fouls out. You saw that team, the intensity still go. You think the game's over. Draymond's waving at the crowd, bye-bye, he's gone, and you're still fighting. So I tell you, that's what they should be feeling. Like,
that was
no.
Bills Oilers, 35-3, and Frank Reich takes the ball in the second half and leads them. It might have been 38-3 if memory serves, but Buffalo comes out in the third quarter, and you figure out if we can string together a couple touchdowns, maybe we'll make it close.
Put a drive together.
Right. Next thing you know, you score, they don't. You score, they don't. And that was kind of how that felt. There's no way a team blows a 31-point lead in an NBA playoff game. There's
19
just no
minutes
way.
To play. You almost have to outscore the opposition by 2 points a minute. You need to win every minute by almost 2 points.
That was
think
a
about
comeback.
That. That's insane.
That Bills Oilers, that was more.
You think that's the bigger comeback than the Clippers?
Yeah. That's a bigger comeback because it's football.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Ooh. Basketball, you can shoot your way in it. Football game, to be able to score.
I'm wondering how the point differentials, because you can figure this out. Someone can take the amount of time and do some fancy math with an algorithm and show us what a 31-point basketball lead would be like at a certain point in time compared to whatever that football lead was. 32? Was it 35-3?
Yeah, 35-3.
35-3. So you compare something like that with the amount of time remaining. I don't know which way. The Oilers were on the road trying to protect that lead, if I'm not mistaken. That was at Ralph Wilson Stadium. And the Warriors were at home trying to protect their lead. Whew.
Those are two.
You'd obviously rather be the Warriors because you get to come back and fight another day.
Right.
Warren Moon just had to go home.
Go home.
And that game went to overtime, too. The Bills outscore them 28-7 in the third.
Overtime?
Yeah, 41-38.
Yeah.
How about that?
Steve Christie, no relation to Doug Christie or Agatha Christie, with the big field goal to win it in overtime.
Moore.
Yeah, Christy Brinkley's got to be on there.
She's in the Washington position.
Yeah, when I went to Tennessee and played on that team, those guys were just sick. What happened? Mark Daryl Lewis, Mark Robb, all those guys, they were on that team when that motorboat happened.
Good Google. Teammate of you show up and immediately just rip open scabs.
Hey, guys,
when you were in Houston, what the hell happened at Ralph Wilson?
I had
that never happened to me in New Orleans. Granted, we never made it to the playoffs. We're unfortunately all out of time. I'd love to give you a chance to speak back on that, but, you know, the rules, they are the rules.
Yeah.
We're back after
you
this
too.
With more
you
hot
too.
Takes.
But,
I know. Or I don't. Whatever. You know what? I just thought of, for no reason whatsoever, 420, right around the corner. So, you know. Just figure I'd throw that out there.
All the people sending me your half-baked memes after the the Baron Davis interview. Go ahead and take a break, okay?
Wow.
I got so much Jim Brewer in my feed right
me
now.
Too.
I got so much Jim Brewer in my Twitter feed for, you know, no reason whatsoever. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. That part not actually brought to you by Fremont Bank. Just, you know, the general sports concept of the show brought to you by our friends at Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Sal in Oakland has been on hold for a while. Sal, we appreciate the patience. All things Warriors, Clippers, Warriors playoffs, all things NBA on the table, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. What's going on? Sal.
Sal!
Sally.
Yeah, hey, sorry, man.
Why you bringing this on?
What you doing?
You on a treadmill right now?
Sal, what you getting in, Daddy? Take it easy on.
Hey, check it out. Blessing in disguise, all I have to say. They forced Boogie to get in into the rotation. I think they made a couple of changes that took kind of Clay out of the game and changed KD's game. I think with him gone, I think KD, other players are going to step up, especially
Looney, David Lee, Kalena. Yeah, we lost the call. Sorry.
Kobe.
I got confused there. Sorry. Appreciate the phone call. He was on hold forever. We just went to him. That's on me. Should give him a better setup. Having some trouble with these interviews.
Maybe we can get Baron back best of Baron Davis.
Maybe he's looking for his car. Dude, where's my car?
Those two interviews going hand in hand right now. That one right there.
Yeah, but in Sal's defense, he's been on hold forever. Okay. And like we just blatantly come to him. And it's like, oh, I got to get organized.
Okay.
Baron was, you know, we're coming on. We're going to have a conversation about basketball.
Maybe Baron was looking at trees outside.
There are lots of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking
spring
at
is in the air.
His Twitter feed right now is full of Warriors and Clippers commentary. I get it. You want to be funny and you say you didn't watch the game and you run your Game of Thrones material. But upon the second question, let's go ahead and get to content here. This is a big game. It's a big deal to some of us. I was a little disappointed with what we got.
You're a little upset with the interview.
I'm very upset with the interview, in fact. Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm a guy who likes to run material.
No, right. Completely understandable.
But when you go to a former NBA player, a current NBA analyst, you're looking for analysis. And it's great, run your material, make your jokes about how you didn't watch game, you were watching Game of Thrones. That's funny. I liked it. Okay, now second question, how about that game? And then it's continued to run material. I thought it was a little disappointing. It
did. Man, you don't want to know.
Actually, I do want to know, B, which is why we had you on. And I'm happy you're doing so much for the community, and your mattresses thing is awesome to help so many needy people in Oakland. We were happy to help you spread that message, B. But what'd you think of the game?
Man, you don't want to know.
Man, I guess I don't want to know going forward. Don't miss players only this week. Come on, man. I mean, that's disrespectful to me, Joe.
All right. Complete. I'm not arguing with you. It did lead to interesting content in the break as, like, the whole group of shows that are here were just going over the worst interviews they've ever done. Mount Worst Interview More just took place outside.
He's up with LeVar. That one and LeVar.
No.
Yeah. That's my LeVar. Do we have the entire duration of the LeVar Ball interview that's condensed to just his answers?
Hang on, we'll grab it.
All right, take your time, because that's a very quick
ask. I think those two are they're going.
That's neck and neck.
We had some bad ones. We had Golden Tate at the Super Bowl. That one sticks out for me because I wanted to know about the touchdown he scored against Green Bay, the Fail Mary.
Right.
And we didn't even make jokes about it. I was just asking, you know, when that all, you know, it's been a few years now. What happened? Man, it was a catch. Well, yeah, but, you know, upon replay, and I'm sure you've watched it, like, you know, can you see why people... He didn't want to talk about it. He just wanted to talk about freaking Pizza Hut.
Right.
Which is what, you know, everyone's got something going on. So, like, all right, tell me about Pizza Hut. Get the hell out of here. And then, sure enough, he ends up with the Eagles, and it's like, you got to be kidding me,
Chuck,
with this guy.
How about Chuck? Chuck's interview was pretty good.
Chuck's maybe my Mount favorite interview more.
It was great.
Charles Haley got to go up there.
Well, first of all, Chuck sits down with us at the Super Bowl. He was not invited at all. Lowe just told him where we were, and he showed up. And it's like, oh, man, this is sweet. This is Chuck Liddell. So Chuck sits down. And then Chuck doesn't leave.
No.
He hung out for like an hour and a half on air. He like co-hosted the show with us. He was interviewing people with us.
That's right.
It would have been great if he was there when Charles Haley tried to kill me. Ooh. That was a different type of interview. Sure. In hindsight, though, I brought that upon myself. Had Haley made a move at me, I don't think anyone's siding with me. I'm going to call that what it is.
And you guys threw me to the wolves. We needed to get something signed that day. We needed a helmet signed. You're like, Anna, you go ask him. You go ask him.
Was I going to ask him?
No.
Wasn't gonna no.
I was very scared, by the way, when I went up to him. Like, can you sign this? And he stared me down. I was like, oh, I.
That's why you're there. You're nice and friendly.
I
need you to do those sort of things.
I was smiling. I was friendly. I said hello.
That was a bad run. I think Ryan Reynolds just walked away from Damon Bruce after he made an inappropriate comment.
Oh, man.
When did you know you had a problem with Charles? When did you say?
Early. Actually, not early. I had been drinking heavily that week. Very hungover for all those shows. Right. And Charles was sitting down, and I don't even remember how it all started, but we were all making jokes. And I don't think I made a joke, like, specifically at his expense. But I made a joke that easily could have been construed to be a joke in his general direction.
Right.
About maybe a team he played for or something.
Mental attitude. Something you were kind of joking about, crazy, you know.
You remember?
Something like that. And he was like, I was like, Joe, he's on Matt, you know. And you just looked at like, oh, want to get away? Charles gave him the look, Dibs.
We almost got naked in the shower.
Oh,
you,
man.
You could have seen Joe's
eyes.
It was Joe where Joe looked away, head down. I mean, pretty much, it was Charles.
Sorry, sir. Yeah.
That's someone you don't want to lock eyes with in that setting.
Yeah, Mount Bad Decision More.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if it's like
somebody Golden like Tate. It's like, whatever, come across the table.
Yeah.
We'll tackle each other to the ground. We'll see what happens.
Right.
Chuck Liddell, no. Randy Couture came in that one day. He's all nice.
Or
but
even like Michael Strahan, who's a big dude. You know that he's probably lighthearted, and he's probably not going to come across and take you down. But
well,
Charles
he's smart.
Haley,
he's a businessman.
Yeah, he knows better than the mess.
Without a doubt, Haley a fight.
I can't assume Haley's going to be making rational decisions.
Right.
No.
Strahan will make a rational decision. Right. Strahan will be like, man, this guy's got a fat mouth, but I got a really big, important career. I can't be slapping him around. Haley's probably not thinking like that. Haley's probably thinking, I had just about enough of this wiseacre. Put him down.
Right.
You know, given all the things I've said over the last few years, not like Lowe's coming to my defense or anyone else for that matter. So that got dicey. That was a really dicey Super Bowl situation. Here's the famous interview we did with LeVar Ball. The only thing you're going to hear are LeVar Ball's answers. Literally every single answer LeVar Ball gave us, we strung them together, and we're going to present them to you.
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
No.
From day one, we said we was one and done.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's very simple. You just need a lawyer just to read over the contract. You don't need to negotiate nothing, so you don't need, like, an agent or anything. No. I don't want to write a book or nothing like that. Yes. Like I said, we're going to be the only ones drafted with our own brand. All right. Thank you very much.
Big-time interview right
wow.
there.
Mm-hmm.
60 Minutes called us right after that. It was Lowe, me, and Anderson Cooper who were up for the gig. Cooper ended up getting it. That body of work just wasn't enough.
You compare the energy, though, that he brought, albeit in one-word answers, to what we had at 9:10 this morning with Baron Davis, and at least he brought some energy with his one-word answers.
Oof.
At least... Man, you don't want to know.
Apparently I don't. You know, I was so disappointed by that interview from Baron Davis that I now believe it was an offensive foul when he dunked on Kirilenko.
Oh.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
You've officially changed position.
It's a charge, Coach. Yeah, thank you, Papa. If you look at the video, he clears out with the left arm, Coach. It should have been offensive. I'm on your side, AK.
I'm surprised you didn't hit him with the dunk to try to get him going a little bit.
I mean, we looked at each other towards the end. We had an out at 9:20, and it, you know, because he had somewhere he had to be, and it was like, "What do you like?" We were trying to. You were in the middle of the question with him, and he and I are looking at each other like, "What do you want to do with this?" I don't, you know, we can't ask any more game questions because he's not going to want to talk about that. So you know, you just whatever.
Even Game of Thrones, he hasn't gotten past the credits. He did watch the game because he's watching Game of Thrones. Tell us about Game of Thrones. Oh, I haven't made it past the credits. Well, now we're over two. I mean, there's a turnover. Tell me about your dunk on Kirilenko. Was it a charge? Did you clear out with the left arm, B? That's the tack we should have taken.
Man, you don't want to know.
Yeah, apparently I don't.
All right, so at least, you know what, enough time has gone by we can laugh about this 31-point blown lead last night. Largest in NBA history for the postseason. There are so many records and milestones that were set in last night's game. Maybe on the plus side, you look at it like this. This is that wake-up call. This is that, hey, if we get caught trying to be fancy, if we get caught losing focus like we did during the regular season, we're going to pay for it. And maybe you come out and you hammer the Clippers in Game 3, and this serves as that wake-up call so that you're ready to go heading into the Houston series, presumably getting Houston in the next round. But on the flip side, this could be a sign of things to come. I mean, let's think about it. This entire season has been highlighted by inconsistencies that tend to creep up every so often. Sometimes they have a bad stretch, like they did after the KD Draymond Green drama. Sometimes they have a really good stretch that comes to an end, and then there's a couple random games in there where you just wonder what the heck went wrong, and then they're playing well. We just assume they're going to cruise through. These are going to pop up. I guess the real question that we're all going to be faced with is, do they pop up four times in a seven-game series? Ultimately, do they pop up enough to prevent this team from hoisting O'Larry?
But it's one thing to have it pop up. It's another thing to have it pop up against a team who can beat you straight up. Because if you look at the Houston series, you're not going to be able to give away one or two games to a team that has enough ability to beat you when you play well. That's the one thing about this Clippers series, Joe, is if the Clippers play well for 48 minutes and the Warriors play well for 48 minutes, the Warriors are going to win 9 out of those 10 games. So you're not that concerned. But you take the same template against Houston, if the Rockets play well, and you mentioned it earlier this morning, they're playing with incredible offensive efficiency with a very slow tempo, which tells you that the Warriors aren't going to have as many possessions as they might in other games. So if you play against Houston and you straight give away a game in that series like you did to the Clippers, you may not have enough to recover in a best of seven against Houston.
What are you thinking? Can enough of this creep up? Maybe, like Dibs is saying, you have that one game where you play great, but it's not enough. And then you have a couple mistakes creep up. 4-7. Are we legitimately concerned now? I know you have expressed quite a bit of concern, very, very much in the camp that Boogie was going to play a huge role here. So this has got to be debilitating to what you think is going to happen in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I do. I really believe that now you got a dogfight. The rest of these series is going to be tough. I think you get by this team, of course, and it's going to be a grind. It's going to be a grind. I still think you have enough to beat the Rockets. I don't believe that you have enough to beat whoever's coming out of the East now. I really don't, because I look at where you're going and what your team was made of. You're in a situation where you're trying to go back to back to back. I get it. But you lost a guy who can score down in the paint, and he brought energy. I didn't even – you saw Klay Thompson, what he said. Klay Thompson said – We lost a guy that can go down in the box and score.
You want to hear from Klay?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right here, and it's a short. This is Klay after the game on Boogie.
We can't throw it on the
I mean, we miss his low post dominance. We're going to miss that, of course. We're going to miss his screen setting and just his energy out there. I'm hoping for a speedy recovery because we really need him if we want to make this run.
We really need him if we
want
to make this run.
It's a bit alarming to hear that from him.
It is. And people say, are they good enough still to win a title? Yes, they are. But I'm just saying the odds have really, really switched. If you said, low, what would you take? I'd take the Phil. I take the Phil today. Without a doubt, I would take the Phil against the Warriors. I just think Dibs not having Boogie Cousin, a guy that can play, and you know he was a guy that could go out in any given night, if need to be, he can go get you 20. If need to be, he can get you 10 or 15. And on some nights, if when it's dominant play, he can get you 25 to 30. Do they have that ability? Do they have a guy that's now going to take that spot that can do that in a crucial situation when all the shooting's not going the way that it needs to be, the jump shooting, all those? Do they have a guy now as a big man that can do that? And I don't see that. And yes, you say, well, last year, these other teams, why were they able to do that? I think this year, you don't have the same situation. A lot of teams have gotten better, have gotten bigger guys. You see what Toronto has done as far as bringing that console. You look at where the Greek Freak and where they're at. You look around the association, and teams have adjusted to what the Warriors have been able to do. And I thought Boogie Cousins was that saving factor, that little X factor that they were going to bring in and him to ignite the team. And also, because he has not won a championship, the team was going to play with that much more energy for Boogie Cousins.
To me, it's the intangibles more than it is the points. To me, it's the back half of your point as opposed to the front half. And
understood.
I think when I hear Clay say that in the comment, that's what I'm hearing from him, saying we need him in order to win this thing. I think what they need is the intangibles, the desire, a guy who's never won a championship. He was playing in his second ever playoff game, and for him to get hurt in the first quarter and in that manner, it wasn't a case of, you know, he went up for a dunk or something and somebody came underneath him. It was just a freak accident.
He's happened. Making a hustle play.
Yeah, he's making a hustle play. And by the way, that might have been the last hustle play made, other than a guy by the name of Draymond Green, the entirety of the game. So I think that's what Clay is saying when he talks about we need him in order to win. We need his hustle. We need his desire, his passion, because you didn't see a lot of that when they're up 31 emotionally and from an effort standpoint. They shut it down.
Couple calls, and then we've got Bet 162.
Ooh,
great.
I'm excited.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad you're excited.
I'm glad you're excited.
Yeah. I think we're all just glad. Glad. Laura, San Francisco. Laura, are you glad?
Hi, guys.
Tell
so
me
my thought is this.
Quiet.
As frustrating as last night was and as angry as I went to bed, and Boogie being out hurts us a lot, I don't think we have to panic in the sense, back to your original question hours ago about what's our panic level. And my reason is twofold. One, this team unfortunately tends to need embarrassing losses and kicks in the butt to unify them. Anytime they kind of come down a little, they need some major event like this to bring them back. And that's one thing. And the other thing is, I think Draymond's the key behind the scenes. I think his attitude permeates. So if he's having conflict with Steve, that's going to come out on the floor. But if he's motivating and solid and confident, I think that comes out on the floor. And then the other guys produce. But I do think that we've watched this kind of roller coaster, and it's amplified this year more than in years past, probably because other teams are better, because we're a little older, a little more tired, maybe a little more used to it, so easier to slip. But I don't know. Those are my thoughts. So I'm not going to panic, and I want Draymond to get this group going.
Appreciate the phone call. Smartest thing said in the last hour, minimum. And you're not really up against much, considering some of the things that have taken place in this hour, but still a very good phone call. Dan, San Jose. Dan, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, fellas. November 25th, 1980, in the Superdome in New Orleans. WBC welterweight championship fight. Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran, the famous No Mas fight. Very similar. Durant was Roberto Duran last night. He did not want to play the style that Patrick Beverley was forcing on him, and he quit. Your thought?
Yikes. That's first of all, boxing analogies are always welcome on
always.
This show. Always welcome on this show. We love the boxing analogy. Ooh,
it would work better for me if the Clippers had won game one, because Duran won the first fight between he and Ray Leonard before
you're really
turtling
back
up
there.
just a little bit of a peel back. I like the no moss angle. I don't know if KD necessarily went full no moss. He just got caught up in some physical entanglements where he got whistled with, what, four offensive fouls in the second half?
And not just second half, that final 19-30.
And that's why I'm with this caller. Because
he's going to need to have a big game. He's going to need to put Pat Beverly in his place at some point.
Because it was nothing Roberto Duran could do to Sugar Ray. And every time KD tried offensive move, they'd call him on a whistle. Four offensive fouls, like you said, Dibs. So it wasn't like – so he's like, what do I do? So I think when the caller's making that sense with that, you have to look at it and says, Durant said no moss because of the fact the refs wouldn't let him get free and they were letting Beverly hold him. So he's like, what can I do? What can I do?
You can post up because Patrick Beverly is 6'1".
You can post up. You can go to the rack.
You can go ahead and post on up. You're 6'11" at least.
Whose decision to put him to post up?
Well, you're on the floor, so you got to have the will to want to get down to the block and make sure you get the ball and make them double team you. You've got two of the best shooters in the history of basketball on the perimeter. Post yourself up. Get down to the block. Don't go into hero ball mode. These are adjustments that have to be made for Game 3 on Thursday.
Everyone who was around for the Baron Davis interview earlier, the clowns who are suggesting a Pat Burrell interview, you're all hilarious. Every single one of you, you're hilarious. He's been lifetime banned from the show. It's outside of my control. There will be no Pat Burrell interviews. Stop asking. Yeah. Lifetime ban.
Who imposed that lifetime ban?
Me. Who else would impose
it? Well, I know, but you said it's out of your control.
Lifetime ban. You can't take away a lifetime ban. Okay. That's why I say lifetime ban. Now, had I ban him for a month, and then you get to the end of the month, you know, you lift the ban. Lifetime ban. I can't control it anymore. It's out there.
Bet 162, homie. Let's do this.
Stupid game. Game 18. All right.
Great.
So over the weekend, lost 2 of 3, but actually cut into the deficit a little bit. Both losses were one-unit losses. The win was a three-unit win on Bumgarner, who delivered in a big way. Shout-out Reyes Miranda for coming into that game as well with a runner on second and no outs and striking out three batters in a row. That was a fantastic effort. Today, the Giants are in San Francisco. They're taking on Steven Strasburg in the Nationals. They're not in San Francisco. What did I say? I said they're in San Francisco?
Yeah.
They're in Washington. They're in our nation's capital, taking on good friend of the program, Sean Doolittle, and the Nationals. Strasburg is extraordinarily high priced here, and she shouldn't be because he is not as good as his name is currently pricing him. But I don't. I'm going to lay the run line here. I'm going to go 3 units. We're going huge bet -1.5. I got the Nationals beating the Giants by two or more. You got to win by 2 for me to win the bet. It's -1.5. It's the run line. Full 9 innings plus extra innings. 3-unit wager. Dibs, you can take a look at the pricing. The Nationals are +110 almost everywhere across the board at -1.5. There's a +114. We'll go with +110. +110 across the board. So 300 to make 330.
Where are we as far as the deficit? You're minus like 500, I think.
How do you know it's not plus?
Because I know you've been running cold, and I saw a tweet that intimated that there's been a lot of red on your board.
Tons of red. And when I win one, it doesn't mean it gets a green indication. It's the running total over here.
Gotcha.
So it's going
gotcha.
To stay red until I turn that number positive. But we are -513 right now. -513. Not our lowest point. Our lowest point was -710. So we are a little bit better than that.
I stand behind my laugh track.
That's it. We're done.
No, go Nationals. Let's talk some more about the Giants.
Win by 2 or more. Come on, Nationals.
Let's go, Giants.
Sonny and the Guru coming up next. Most excited you've ever been for a Giants game in your life. Until tomorrow when I pick against them again.
They'll
have Tim Hardaway at 11 o'clock. Maybe they'll ask him about Game of Thrones. Can't promise how that interview is going to go. Timmy's usually buttoned up for us. And in low, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everyone. Greatly appreciate it. As always, we'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.